News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. A few more clouds this morning than we've seen the last couple of days. Yesterday was like on a scale of 1 to 10, it was about a 13, with a high of about 76 degrees and sunny skies.
Hey, Dan, you know the weather doesn't matter anymore. Mardi Gras come and gone. It could storm all day, and we're in the clear.
Hey, but we do have we have a weekend on the way, and some of you might have some free time. You might want to get out and boat or fish or whatever. So anyway, it looks pretty good. Meanwhile, we've talked to a lot of the Senate candidates for the U.S. Senate. Mo Brooks was in studio not long ago. Katie Britt gave us the courtesy of a phone call not long ago as well. But from right here in Mobile, Carla DuPriest joins us in studio.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on, Carla. And it's not your first time in this studio,
no,
I understand.
Not at all.
You've been on with George Williams, is that right?
Yes, and Pete Ream.
And Pete Ream and his show coming on tonight as well, Common Sense Radio, at 8 o'clock. Well, we're so glad you were able to join us here this morning. And a lot of people in Alabama politics know of you, and you know a lot of the folks there. So
yes.
I guess let's start it off this way. What made you decide you wanted to run for Senate?
Well, good morning, Alabama.
Good morning.
I am Carla DuPriest, the next Republican United States Senator for the great state of Alabama. I'm here because a little girl from Maysville, one of the poorest communities in our city, had a vision that she could stand in the United States Senate and advocate for the poor and the disadvantaged. But she was told that you have to be twice as good, which created in her a desire to learn and to teach. And as an adult, and you need to look at my resume, that she was told that you are not qualified. But I am here this morning with these two gentlemen to tell you that not only am I qualified, but I'm twice as good.
That's awesome. and I know you believe that. And I know that you're not a stranger to Republicans in the state of Alabama, because you have, yourself have been a Republican for decades.
Yes.
And I know that offended you at first when we said it. She was like, don't make me sound old. But we're just trying to make sure that people understand your qualifications.
Yes. Thank you, Dan.
So, we were talking earlier during the break about some of your competition, and I don't think it's outrageous to say that there are front runners in this race.
Yes.
Mo Brooks, Katie Britt, Mike Durant have been discussed ad nauseum.
Yes.
Why do you think you have a chance to beat them?
All right. Well, it has been proven across this country, in Congress and in state houses, that candidates such as myself have women and women of color can win, and that's because of the electorate. You, the people of Alabama, going out and showing to the establishment that they don't control your destiny, they don't control your freedom. And we see the poor people in Ukraine that is fighting so passionately for their freedom. And that's a freedom that we as Americans should not take for granted.
You also know a little bit about that freedom as well. I know that you have a son who's now a disabled veteran of war in Afghanistan.
Yes, sir.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. My family and I, we believe in freedom. And our family has a history of participating in democracy and serving in the military. And so that's something that our family lives with on a daily basis, the challenge of having someone that's suffering from PTSD.
Oh, wow.
But it's not only the military, but there are people, even with this COVID, that are dealing with PTSD. And so it's something that our government should stress. And when I'm in the Senate and then back in Washington again, I will not forget you.
We're talking with Carla DuPriest, a Mobilian, running for the Republican Senate primary coming up. I guess it's weeks away, right? We're just a couple months out, so it's on the way, and you've been running for a while now.
Yes.
When did your campaign, I guess, start? Has it been a year yet, or when did you know you were going to run for Senate? That could have been a long time ago that you did that.
Well, as Dan so eloquently stated, that I've been in the Republican Party working and expounding conservative values for decades. But I actually had a calling from God that he told me that I was going to be the next Republican United States Senator, and that he wanted me to tell the people to love him and to love each other.
So you've talked about your political background, but a lot of people around here know you from the food background, right? And
absolutely.
And you're a businesswoman as well. So talk some about your business qualifications and your qualifications behind the bar or in the kitchen there.
Yeah. All right. But in addition to my business background here in Mobile, but I've also owned Sears franchise back in Kansas. So I do this. So this is not my first business or my first rodeo as in terms of dealing with businesses. But yes, I co-own Chris and Carla's Heavenly Ribs. You don't need teeth to eat them.
That's
in a
great.
Couple of years, that might be coming handy for me.
So why do you think that's important to have to know what business small business owners go through when you run for a seat like this?
Yes, as I stated initially, that when I'm in the Senate and back in Washington again, that I want to advocate for small businesses who account for like 64% of the new jobs and innovation in our country and in the world in terms of employing people. But I want to expound that they have access to resources, that they have access to training in addition to federal and local contracts, which has benefited my family, as you mentioned earlier, Dan.
Yeah, you do your catering business does business actually with troops who are preparing to deploy, correct?
Yes.
Out at Fort Whiting?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Talk about how you came to take on and believe in conservative values when you are literally, I've read an article where you are surrounded by those who vote Democratic, Democrat, and how you came to the conclusions that you have.
Well, I believe that there are a lot of more people out there, and I have friends that are in business and personal that feel the same way that I do as far as believing in pro-life and low taxes and things that the Republican Party expounds. But there is just tremendous pressure on individuals such as myself to think outside of the box and to be independent. And so sometimes that pressure can be crushing to overcome.
Got it.
But to benefit our country, we definitely have to do what's best for the people of Alabama and the United States.
Speaking of which, one of our big stories this morning is the $100 million federal grant coming back to the port and to build that new terminal at Brookley. Senator Richard Shelby played maybe the biggest role in that. That's whose seat you're running to fill.
Yes.
I mean, that would be a major part if you were to win this race, is a lot of people back here will say, hey, what's Carla going to do for us? That's that would be important to you, I'm sure.
Well, as I mentioned earlier during our interview, that not only am I good, but twice as good, that with my business experience, with my experience in the political arena, that I think that we need to get back to when I was in Congress, the two parties working together and doing what is best for the citizens of Alabama and the United States.
We're talking with Carla Dupriez, by the way, who's running for U.S. Senate.
And as far as the two parties working together to get stuff done, I mean, do you think that's attainable? We've been living through a pretty, pretty, you know, partisan government here the last, well, a long time, but it seems to have heightened in the last 5-10 years. Is it possible for Republicans and Democrats in the Senate, you know, to work together and get stuff done?
Yes.
Yeah?
I wouldn't be sitting here if I didn't have hope. And my hope is that the parties will get back to the point that they do what's best for the citizens.
It's like visiting like an old neighbor's come by to visit us. We know a lot of people, a lot of the same people, Carla, and your son, Xavier, I remember as a rather ferocious defensive lineman at UMS, right? He's kind of blushing, if that's possible, in the background, but he was a really good football player. So you're from Mobile, and talk about your experiences in Mobile as a woman of color and a Republican, and what you've encountered and what you would like to see. You know, what should the future be for people of color and the Republican Party?
Well, my message and my hope for the people of Alabama and the United States is, I ask you this question. The decisions of today are the consequences of tomorrow. So the person that you're going to elect, it has to be someone that can go to Washington. And it's almost like cats fighting in the dark.
It has been, except except it's in the light. We can see it going on. Sometimes it's pretty ugly, too, yeah. Right? Watching the news every night and just the political discussions, the tone seems to be pretty contentious right now. So
yes.
You can help with that, I suppose.
Oh, I'm going to go in there. I'm a fighter, Xavier can attest to.
Yeah. Where can folks find information, more information about your campaign, Carla?
Okay. We have a website. It's www.CarlaDupriesUSSenate.com.
Very good. Well, it's just a delight to have you on the show this morning, Carla. Xavier, good to see you again, young man. I know he's helping you with the campaign.
Yes.
Very good. And good luck as you visit statewide. I think everybody will be happy to meet with you.
I don't need luck when I got God.
There you go.
Carla Dupriest, running for U.S. Senate, our guest this morning on Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll return. Mobile Mornings continues after the break.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 822. We got our three big things online, FMTalk1065.com. But edging its way ever closer. Maybe tomorrow it'll be one of the three big things. I don't know.
It might be the Mardi Gras petition. First, I haven't gotten to tell you about my my kids' first parades, which I was not able to attend. But
so, Gulf Shores.
Gulf Shores. They did one at the wharf. They were with their grandparents because schools apparently they let everyone go for the first, for Lundi Gras, Fat Tuesday, and Ash Wednesday.
Right.
No one is available. So the grandparents came and took them down to the beach and saw some of those nice Gulf Shores parades, one at the wharf, obviously, and then Gulf Shores.
I want to see some of those pictures of your little girls at the parade.
Well, I'll send it over. But for a quick review before we get into this Mardi Gras petition, moon pies, not a fan. They are not fans of the moon pie, the kids. But beads, on the other hand?
Big fans.
Oh, man. They love the beads. So that's where we stand right now. The three-year-old.
Well,
not
the three-year-old speaks for
everyone.
Yeah,
she speaks for me. But it's a no-go so far on the moon pie. We'll see if they grow into that. But the beads, they are absolutely in love with. So, yeah, I'll shoot you some of those pictures because I know you want to see them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the with everything that's going on in the world, the big discussion right now is this this Mardi Gras petition that's been put out there. And let's see. It's not at the standard petition place. What's that? What's that website called where most people put their petitions?
I don't do petitions, so I don't know.
Yeah, you're not a petition guy.
No,
there's like a common website, and I'm sure everyone's thinking of it right now. Anyway, this is at iPetitions.com, and it's this. I guess he's a Mobilian, Brian Funemeyer, and he says to Mayor Sandy Stimson, Mobile City Council, and Mardi Gras parading organizations, we are Mobilians and visitors who seek to have a safer and more family-friendly Mardi Gras in Mobile. So when we describe Mobile Mardi Gras to someone who's been to New Orleans or only knows of the New Orleans Mardi Gras, how do we explain it?
Family-friendly.
Family-friendly Mardi Gras.
And I can attest to that because at the parade, for instance, the parades I was at on Fat Tuesday itself, I was with a gentleman who has been to Mardi Gras in New Orleans and said this was the tone of all. This was way different.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done the New Orleans one, so I don't know.
So it continues in this petition. This year and in past years, too many people have been hurt by the throws. There are countless stories of boxes being thrown at crowds, big bags of beans. I think he means beads. Big bags of beans hurled forcefully and more. These occurrences are discouraging people from returning to Mobile, thus hurting our city's finances and reputation. We'd love to see solutions. So here are his solutions for Mobile to have the safest Mardi Gras on the Gulf Coast. Nothing sells a parade like saying it's the safest Mardi Gras. Have a designated inspector check each float before they roll to ensure that there are no boxes. That would cost a lot. Beads must be separated. All throws must be in large bags. Enforce the code that says the conduct of the parade is not reasonably likely to cause injury to persons or property. Hefty fines for organizations and members who don't follow the rules. Also, publicize tools to help attendees report incidents, have a weight limit on throws, and keep track of fined organizations and make them public. And then he goes on from there and shows some people who have been injured this year, and he's got some of their stories there. including maybe someone who we might know. But anyway, he said there are many more stories like
going
this.
Going back to yesterday's headline.
Anyway, that's been setting the text line on fire. This change.org. Thank you. Backstrap Stacker with the save there. Change.org is where like all of the petitions go.
Oh, yeah.
When someone gets pulled over for like throwing litter, they'll get on change.org and say, I propose a petition where we're allowed to litter. And then they see how many people can sign it. And even if like two people sign up, they can still say they have the petition there.
Yeah, you're right.
So for this petition,
change.org.
So far, 56 people have signed this petition at ipetitions.com. But so far on our text line, it's been fairly evenly split with people that are saying, get over it. That's just how Mardi Gras is. You got to be prepared. You got to have your head on a swivel. And then a lot of other people who were saying from personal experience that it did get more dangerous this year and that they know personally of people who were injured.
Is this like hurricane season? Do you have seasons when more people get pegged?
Season.
Like, oh, remember 2004? Woo, that was bad.
What we did see this year, I think, were more breakdowns than usual. You had the one on the MOT.
Major, 30 minutes.
I think there was one during the walking parade. And
there's one during our parade, our parade.
One during some of those, floats weren't ready after taking a year off. Maybe some of the arms on those floats were just too fired up. I don't know. You didn't have it last year.
It's like the former pitching staff of the Milwaukee Brewers visited town. I don't know what was going on, but there were some people that were really former athletes on those floats that I saw.
So Joel in Somerdale, who's been the most forceful anti-petition here, he said, if anyone's ever lived in Mobile and went to Mardi Gras parades, everybody's done got hit by something. Matt said, my son got hit with a hard plastic action figure from McDonald's that was still in package. His son got hit in the head, and he says he got hit in the head about five times by the same guy. Matt, at what point? At what point do you protect yourself?
Wait, at what point is it on you, Matt?
He said, I could tell he was getting a kick out of it. That reminds me of, back when I was a boy in Clark County, and we had Christmas parades up there, but everyone treats the Christmas parade like it's a Mardi Gras parade.
Oh, they do. They have throws?
Yeah, they have throws. One year, I have plenty of stories.
What, they throw elves?
So one year, I was Hamburglar, the McDonald's costume, and I was on the McDonald's float. I got to tell you, I was not treated with any kind of respect by the Jackson, Alabama winter parade crowd. They were throwing
the kind people of Clark County were not so kind to you.
They were throwing the stuff back and hitting me in my large plastic head with so much force. It was not, but there was, you have your high school teams and some of these local parades, and that's kind of what this reminds me of is when I was little and our high school team won the state championship, and so they were out there for the Christmas parade. They were intentionally trying to, injure people in the crowd. I don't think that's what we have going on in these Mardi Gras parades. I don't think they're like 15-year-old amped up high school football player boys.
35-year-old drunk as hell amped up former high school football players.
Backstrap says try to enforce some of the overbearing laws and fines on organizations and guess what? They'll stop parading. We don't have to throw anything off the float. Jason asking, what rules are already on the books? I think they said that it's already a rule, right, that you can't have the big boxes on there. I'm not exactly sure. But a lot of comments on here. Yep. We'd love to hear from you. 251-343-0106.
Rob with Lanyap. Saw him on Fat Tuesday downtown, and he's on the way. What do you think about my off-air theory about the $100 million?
I wasn't even paying attention.
Okay, well, it's not going to go on the air because I have no. It's just a theory. Anyway, also a man who had that theory is Rob Hulbert with the Lanyap Mobile. At least he had the thought of that. A lot of things that we do know are in Lanyap this week, so we don't have to work on theories, Rob. We can just go on facts and stories, and you've got plenty of them this week.
Yeah, even though Mardi Gras was here, there's still lots of great stuff happening. I mean, the obvious one, our cover story this week is more about the Pritchard Water Board and kind of keeping up with that. And it was moving pretty fast last week after we got off deadline, so there were a lot of things that were online that weren't in the paper last week, and we were trying to kind of catch up with that. And Dale Leash also interviewed an attorney who represents a family that had their water shut off, you know, had some ridiculous bill, you know, over $1,000 bill, and then had their water shut off at Thanksgiving. So, you know, just there's just a bunch of stuff that goes on with it. And then Gabe Tynes had another story out online the other day about the Pritchard Water Board's Mardi Gras float a couple of years ago, back in, I guess, in 2019. So we were seeing like $38,000 worth of Mardi Gras throws and things like that that were in there in that, in the documentation that we got. Turns out that they rented a float from New York, or bought a float from New York, which is, seems bizarre. But
Mardi Gras capital.
Yeah, you know, I can't. It's hard to get a float around here.
I can picture how this happened.
Oh, please.
Because Gabe wrote that the company's name is Parade Float Rental Corporation. So I'm just picturing they tell some employee there at the board, hey, we need to rent a Mardi Gras parade float. Why don't you get on it? They Google parade float rental. They're the first ones to come up. And by God, they're from New York. So,
yeah, but, I think they
let's go with them.
They get paid $10,000 for the float or something like that. And, you know, so they're out there throwing, they're just buying throws with waterboard money. And I mean, that's happened in the past. And I know that, you know, there are times that some of the, you know, I think like city council people and things like that, they get some, sometimes they used to at least get a little bit of a stipend to help them with some throws. But it certainly wasn't anything like $38,000.
A company from New York.
Yeah. And which they also, I don't know if that company, maybe they're like based in New York. But anyway, it's just a ridiculous amount of money. I see they have some mobile websites. So maybe they have people stationed down here or something. I don't know. But what you mentioned there is what's so frustrating about this, right, Rob, is that there are people who have to get their utilities from the Pritchard Water Board and Sewage Service, and they've just been completely defrauded here. They're getting their water turned off at Thanksgiving. You've got these 65-year-old grandmothers, retired, who are getting $2,000 bills, and they're saying, hey, I can't find a leak anywhere. And in the meantime, Nia Bradley and whoever else were allegedly just buying all of this stuff. It's like a wish list of things. Watching the those three-letter acronyms, the FBI and whoever else was there, taking things out of one of her homes last week.
Out of the attic, in many cases.
It's like a magician taking...
Cleverly hidden in the attic.
Yeah.
It's like a magician taking the handkerchief out that never stops. It just kept coming and coming and coming. It's crazy.
There was a tremendous amount of stuff. There's a lot of bags, a lot of things. And everybody's, the thing that blows my mind about it is they knew this was coming. I mean, after it came out, it was pretty obvious that there was going to be an investigation of some sort. And you just kind of wonder, why didn't they get rid of all that stuff? I mean, it just like, let's put it in the attic. They'll never find it there.
Yeah.
For those who didn't see anything, didn't see the pictures or videos of it, it was a tremendous, there were a lot of bags of Louis Vuitton, a lot of boxes of shoes, a lot of Gucci stuff. It just piled up. It was a tremendous amount of stuff.
You know, probably the first statement the FBI or whoever, when they walked through the door, said to them is, we need to get to the attic. The fact that they were hiding Elvis in the attic, that would probably be the first notion.
Everybody was hoping maybe the St. Bernard was going to be in the attic, but she was not there. I don't know if y'all...
St. Bernard? No,
that's... Story of the St. Bernard, she took a picture, Nia Bradley had a picture online with a St. Bernard in which somebody wrote that she bought a Beethoven with your water money.
Oh, man.
So it's been this constant thing about where is this St. Bernard? I think he probably had it. His passport was probably current. He got out of town.
So
he's already in Switzerland.
They were going to put him in the pound.
St. Bernard.
He's already in Switzerland,
In Mobile's climate. That sounds fantastic. But so where does Pritchard, the city, go from here? Because I know Jimmy Gardner, the mayor, he's been, well, at first he was saying, you know, and he's kind of kept it consistent. He said, this is on, this is not necessarily on my office that, that this happened at Pritchard Waterworks. And now I guess he's going to hold some meetings, some public meetings, so that the citizens can come and have their voices heard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that they've got to, you know, obviously they have to look and see who's responsible for these things. And if there are people that are still on the water board who have been, you know, complicit in some of this stuff, they need to be gone and they need to appoint some new folks. You know, it's a really tough thing because you look at there certainly were people who were trying to get the attention of law enforcement. It just didn't. They didn't do anything. Law enforcement. I mean, it really, to me, it's on our investigative divisions of the AG's office, the DA's office, the ethics commission, which is the biggest joke in the whole mm-hmm. the whole state. I mean, those things, those entities did receive letters and they did receive complaints about this and didn't do anything about it. And you know, so I mean, I think that's a big issue. That's something that really needs to be looked at, I think, overall, is why nothing, there was no response to any of this.
Rob, it was good to see you downtown on Fat Tuesday. You and your family, very nice to see you all, and I'm glad you're getting
Thank
around
you,
so well. The return of Mardi Gras, and Dalton's been touting that the weather was amazing for the entire season, for pretty much, and it crescendoed with a beautiful day. What do you make of Mobile and the return of Mardi Gras to our downtown?
It was very nice, you know. I mean, it just it was nice to have everybody back out. Everybody seemed excited about it. I understand that, you know, now there's some petitions to stop people from throwing things too hard at mm-hmm. folks, which, I mean, you know, that does get out of hand sometimes. I mean, there's some folks who wing it pretty hard and they're trying to hit their buddy and they're smacking kids mm-hmm. upside the head with a bag of beads. It's kind of rough, but it is part of Mardi Gras. You got to keep your head on a swivel.
It is, and I'd be lying, and I don't think I've brought it up yet this morning, but with a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, the Mobile, I just wasn't really interested in taking them yet. I want to take them down there, but that was immediately on my mind. I mean, we know at baseball games, you need to keep your head on a swivel. But
sit behind a screen.
You get breaks there. During a Mardi Gras parade, you got to be paying attention the entire time. But I realize that without blaming it on the event itself, right? You know what you're signing up for when you get out there, but there really isn't any reason except by accident for some of these things to happen, like the tumbler or whatever it was that was thrown out and hit some...
Yeah, the thermos.
Yeah.
The thermos. Some of them, I think, maybe could take it a little easier, but I don't know if this petition... The one that gets me in the petition, and Rob, I don't know if you've read what this person is asking for.
Change.org, man.
But one of the things, have a designated inspector check each float before they roll to ensure that there are absolutely no boxes on the float.
I was telling Dalton earlier that it sounded like a case for the Pink Panther or Detective Clouseau. Going float to float.
Mobile already said we pay, you know, law enforcement, I think more than $1 million this year to keep everyone safe. Imagine the costs of that. Someone on every float before the parade to check it out.
Yeah, there's a lot of silliness with that. I mean, it's not doable.
No.
You know, maybe hopefully that you know, some of this will sift down into the brains of those guys who are up there and reliving their high school pitching days.
Exactly.
Just kind of like ease up on a little bit, take the fastball down a little bit. You know, some of them are a little hard. There's definitely, but I mean, you know, you have to have that move when you look down at your shoes for something or look at the ground. When you come back up, you better have your hand in front of your face. You know, you all learned that one the hard way.
Yeah, but,
there's technique to attending a parade.
There is technique. Yeah, you know, it's just, or you know, wear a helmet.
It's like a coach would say, get back to your fundamentals.
Yeah. So, Rob, because of Fat Tuesday, the city council met yesterday, and, of course, you had Dale Leash there to check out what was going on. We are now, let's see, when did this new council first begin meeting? Was that January? I guess it was a little further back than January.
It was November.
It was late November.
And we were early November.
Maybe it was early November.
Okay.
But it was in November, yes.
And I was expecting with four new faces, one of those four being a returning face in William Carroll, that with all of the bad blood that seemed to have built up over the years with the previous council, that maybe there would be some nice feelings and everyone would get along for at least some time, but it seems like so many of these meetings have been just contentious as all get out, whether you're talking about the mayor's redistricting plan that's been discussed, but now one that's coming up to vote, I guess this next Tuesday, is the camping ban, and Ben Reynolds, who proposed that, seems like he's catching a lot of heat for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have different personalities on the board. People get on the council. You got people who get in, and they want to get some things done. They ran for office to get certain things done, and I think that there's, they realize pretty quickly there's not like a junior council member position. You're a council member, and you have as much authority as the others, I think the new people are sort of feeling their oats, and including that with William Carroll. I mean, I think, even though he's a returning councilman, he's been pretty vocal too. So redistricting has been acrimonious, and that probably doesn't help everything else. Mm-hmm. Those things always seem to bleed out into other issues when people are being irritated with one another.
It's almost like if they would have started with some less contentious stuff, but it would almost be like going to some Christmas dinner and sitting down and saying, what do y'all think about race, religion, and politics? You just start off immediately with the hot button issues.
That's what they've done.
Let's talk about critical race theory over dinner. I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, I think they started out, they don't have long standing relationships at this point, and they started out with this crucible of the redistricting. And, which if we have annexation, will happen all over again.
Right.
And so there's a little bit of irritation I can see there, and it probably does bleed into other issues.
Well, I mentioned it to you once we got you on the line. This week, I started reading last night, and I still have more to read because you have so many great stories out in this week's issue of Lanyap. And I read it online. I do pick up an issue when I'm out because I like having the paper in my hands as well. How could people do both, pick up a new issue on stands and sign up online?
Well, of course, you can go to the stands and our purple boxes around and different places we deliver, and you can pick one up for free. And then, of course, you can go online. If you sign up, it's $1.50 a week. What you get online that's different is lots of different stories that aren't in the paper. So it's not, people always say, well, why should I pay to be online if they can get it for free? Because there's a lot of different stuff online that you're missing out on if you're not doing it.
Hey, Rob, real quick before we go, you told me when I ran into you downtown that your little girl had this, she had a concept in her mind, something about, Daddy, why can't it be Mardi Gras every day?
There was some concept of that, thank God that's not, because we'd all be dead. The streets would be lined with dead bodies.
Yeah. So funny. Great to see you downtown, and glad you're doing well, buddy.
Thank you very much. Y'all have a great weekend.
You got it. Rob Holper with Lanyap Mobile.
That's right. You can sign up online. That's what I've done. That's the best way to get all that great information. All right, coming back, we'll wrap up this Thursday edition of Mobile Mornings. Jeff Poor Show on the way, and we'll let you know what he has planned for today's show.
Daddy, why can't it be Mardi Gras every day? Because we'd all be dead. It's that's the conversation I heard.
This text regarding, Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. This text regarding the Pritchard Water Board situation and Nia Bradley.
Yeah.
The texter says, the water lady was so arrogant because she'd never been questioned before. That's why she didn't get rid of the evidence. I can imagine she probably bought that first thing just thinking someone was going to get onto her. And then no one said a word.
That first taste of candy.
First taste. And then she was off and running and buying Gucci and Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
That's how it starts, I guess.
kids, are you listening? Back to Dalton.
8:54, this segment brought to you by Tobias McCormick & Comer, a local law firm who have been serving the Gulf Coast for decades right here in Mobile. The last time Desi Tobias was in studio with us, we were talking about uninsured motorist coverage. And now, in Alabama, that's actually something that is required to be offered by insurance companies. And actually, in fact, if you don't bring it up, I believe that they don't mention it. It just goes on your policy. But you need to make sure that that uninsured motorist coverage is part of your policy. Because I don't know if you're like me, if you've heard Kane on the traffic updates talking about hit and runs that happen, or you've seen some of these vehicles that are just not insured and probably not worth a dent in some vehicle that they may leave, and you just know that they don't have that insurance and they're likely to head off. Well, what does that mean for you and your coverage? You're the one with the hurt vehicle or the injuries. Well, that's why you need uninsured motorist coverage in the event that you're injured in an accident and the other party disappears, or if they don't have insurance, you could be covered. If you have catastrophic injuries, you won't have any way to pay for all of your medical bills if you don't have that uninsured motorist coverage. We have that podcast loaded on our Facebook page and also online at fmtalk1065.com. You can hear Desi talking with us about this uninsured motorist coverage. But if you'd prefer, if something like this sounds similar, or if you've had another injury or situation and you want a consultation, you can call Tobias McCormick & Comer at 251-432-5001 or check them out online, tmclawyers.com.
I don't think you want to miss Representative Danny Garrett. He's on with Jeff today, and that's going to be in the around 10:30, and he is the chair of the House Ways and Means Education Committee. They've got this $8.1 billion education spending bill. Big increase. Anyway, I'm sure Jeff's going to talk to him about that.
Yeah. Did you see this video? Well, actually, let's tell you who's on the Jeff Poor Show. Did you go all the way through it?
I didn't go all the way through it.
Some text. So you'll have Congressman Gary Palmer on first, Todd Stacey with Alabama Daily News, Danny Garrett, like you just said, and Representative Mike Rogers in the third hour. So a lot to get to there.
A lot of state politics.
And he's talking to these federal congressmen as well about what's going on. So Ron DeSantis, who finished second in the CPAC poll last week, a distant second to former President Donald Trump, but his numbers had actually improved from the last CPAC poll, DeSantis's did, when he already showed out pretty well. I think he got like 29 to 39% of the CPAC vote. Anyway, yesterday he was at this event at USF, University of South Florida, and he was walking up to the podium, and behind him he had these college students, and all were wearing masks, and this is what Ron DeSantis, this is what he sounded like was as he was walking up to the podium.
You do not have to wear those masks. I mean, please take them off. Honestly, it's not doing anything, and we got to stop with this COVID theater. So if you want to wear it, fine, but this is ridiculous.
All right. Well, it's good to be at USF.
So that was DeSantis. Initially, I was thinking, oh, he's being, you know, he's joking with him a little bit. Hey, you don't need those masks. Everything's cool. But he looked legitimately peeved by the time he turned around.
He was.
And you'd think there was good reason for that.
I do. I think that the students were wearing the masks. Like, here comes that Republican governor of ours. These are young guys, right? Young kids. we'll show him. We'll wear the mask. And as we talked about it, you were like, yeah, that could be. I'm glad he didn't snatch the mask off. He took, from his tone, you could tell he was taking the role of an authority. Like, hey, joke's over. Take the masks off.
Also, he knows the camera's rolling, and he knows what the base thinks of it when he does that, and they like it.
Yeah.
So also maybe not the worst political move there.
I don't think he's not that confrontational. In that moment, I think that he was this close to being actually confrontational. It's 8:59 at FM Talk 106.5.